Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, if your God is great, give Him a great praise today. Come on, everybody. Give the Lord a great praise. Turn to your neighbor and tell them something nice, like you like their hairdo or just something nice. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11? Thank all of you for being here this morning, all of you, all of our guests. We welcome you. It's an honor to have you. And a special welcome to all the members of the homecoming court. We're glad to have you with us. Here's just a little bit of humor. It's kind of corny, but maybe it'll make you smile, and that's the whole purpose. So a blind man spots a letter on his doormat. And it says on the envelope, "Do not bend." He spends the next 2 hours trying to figure out how to pick it up. That's just goofy. All right, today I'm reading from the NIV, so if you don't have the NIV, just look up on the screen because I like the language of the NIV for our passage of Scripture. Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at verse 24. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose... Notice this, he's making a choice. He chose to be mistreated. You say, wow, that's quite the choice. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. Now check this out, as of greater value, say greater value. As of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Can we pray together? Sweet Spirit of the living God that is so prevalent in this place, thank you for your presence, because your presence is what changes us from religion to relationship. Your presence is what draws us back time and time again, Lord, because we love to feel the presence of God. It makes such a difference in the atmosphere and in our lives, and we thank you for it. We thank you that we can fellowship with you. And Lord, we just ask now for the next 30 minutes, would you bring, Lord, our minds and our bodies and our hearts together in unity so that we can hear and receive your word, and that it will be a seed that will be sown into our spirit, and that in due season it will bear forth much fruit. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So Moses basically sits down and says, what are going to be my values? And what am I going to live for? I want to say that again. In this passage of Scripture, Moses basically somewhere is sitting down and he is asking himself, what are going to be my values and what am I going to live for? We ask ourselves the question many times, who am I? We ask ourselves that, who am I? But I think the better question to ask is this, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? See, who we are becoming is decided by our values, because our values are what we build our life upon. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, we can summarize the world's values in four words. Here they are: power. The world says, I want power. In other words, I want control. I want power. Here's the next word, and that is prestige. I want to be famous. I want everybody to know me. Here's the next value of the world. It's pleasure. I want to feel good. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I want to feel good. Here's the last value of the world. It's called possessions. I want to make a fortune. Those are the values of the world, basically, in a nutshell. And by the world's standards, when you really get to looking at the life of Moses, Moses had all of this. He had all of it. He had all of it. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells us that he was the grandchild of Pharaoh, meaning he had power and he had prestige. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh. He had pleasure. Every whim that Moses could think of in the form of pleasure, he had it. And then when you look at possessions, when you read the scripture in that particular time that Moses was alive, the concentration of the world's wealth was in Egypt. That's where the majority of the wealth was at. So if you look again at his life, Moses had all of this. But Moses walked away from it. Why? Why did he walk away from power, prestige, positions, and possessions? Why? Because he had his values right. He had his values right. He knew that these things do not last. Brothers and sisters, we are sucked in today to believe that more is always better. And everything that we see advertised on TV, it says this: if you get this product, it's going to make you better. If you go out and do this, this is going to give you prestige. If you go out and do this or have this, this is going to make you popular. Everything that we see appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. That's the whole values of the world. It's where you live, what you drive, what kind of handbag you carry, what kind of garments you wear, you know, how much money you earn. That is the culture of the world, and yet Moses had it all at his fingertips and at his feet, and he said, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. You say, how could he do that? Well, because somewhere he sat down and he decided what his values were going to be. Real quickly, I'm going to explain it. Number one, Moses decided that God's purpose is more important than popularity. God's purpose in my life is more important than popularity. Let's take a quick test. Who can tell me who was on the cover of People magazine 2 weeks ago? Raise your hand. I'm going to ask the question again. Who can tell me who was on the cover of People magazine 2 weeks ago? You can't. You know why? Because you're hot one day and then you're not the next. You're the stuff that everybody's talking about 1 week and they forget you the next week. Popularity, brothers and sisters, does not last. And as Pharaoh's grandson, he is heir to the throne. In our world, he would be known as a rock star, a celebrity. He's in position of great power. But he says, you know what? That's no big deal. That's not even a big deal. See, fame is really not all it's cracked up to be. How do I know that? Because I've watched people's lives. They work hard to get famous. And then once they get famous, they put on a wig and sunglasses and dress in sloppy clothes so nobody notices them. You're like, you worked all this long time to get famous, and now you don't want anybody to know you. Because then when many times when you get what you think you want, it's really not what you want. You thought you wanted that brand new vehicle, but you know, those $800 a month payments, that comes with it. And then you realize, I could have just kept driving my Ford F-150 2001 model with the busted taillight. I didn't have that $800 note, and it's okay. It still got me where I needed to be. It's kind of like I need a bumper sticker on my truck that says, "Don't laugh, it's paid for." Hey, if you want to drive a new truck, I'm fine with that. I want you blessed. Drive what you want. But here's what I'm telling you. Many times we think we want this, and then we get it, and then we realize, you know what? After 3 months, I'm not really any better off. I'm not any happier. I'm not any more excited than when I didn't have it. Here was Moses' basic values. God's purpose. Say God's purpose. God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. Here's the second thing. God's people are more valuable than pleasure. Now, let's be honest this morning. I'm not going to try to hoodwink you. The Bible does say that sin is fun for a season. Yes, it is. But you have to remember things about a season. A season don't last for eternity. It's a season. And sin only lasts for a season, and it's a very short season. And pardon me for using a cliche, but it fits right here. Sin will take you further than what you want to go and keep you longer than what you want to stay and make you pay greater than what you thought. And that's what sin will do to all of our lives. Can I get a witness? And Moses realized, listen, God's people are more valuable than pleasure. Because here's what happens. For a short time, you can have your kicks. But never doubt this, you're going to get the kickback. Eventually, you're going to have to pay the piper. And that's exactly what the devil doesn't want you to understand. He wants you to think that being in church is a lot of rules, it's a lot of this, it's a lot of that. Let me tell you something. This church is trying to change that image. God's Bible is not just about a bunch of rules. It's God's love letter to us. And we're wanting to change, not so that we're just a bunch of religious folks, but people that are in relationship with God, who have the love of God, the joy of God, and the peace of God, who are excited about life and excited about living and understand our values. And that this is the best life. Amen. It's not always the easiest life, but it's the best life. Can I get a witness? See, our values are very important. Why, Pastor? Because it's what we build our life on. Our values is what helps us make our choices, and it focuses our priorities. Now, this is not about me, and I don't want to make it about me, but you say, okay, so values are important. Well, what does that look like? Well, for me, my number one value is to be a Christian. So that means every day I wake up, I want to portray Christian character. I want to be kind to others. I want love to flow out of my life. I want you to see the joy of the Lord. I want to pray. I want to seek the face of God. I want to be in His presence. So you get where I'm going. That's my number one value. I want to make sure every day that I am a Christian and living the example of Christ-like character. My second value is I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good husband because if I'm not a good husband, then I'm probably not going to keep this great calling that I have to be your pastor. Because if me and my wife can't get along, it's very important. So I want to make sure that I'm a good husband. And then my third value is I want to make sure I'm a good father to Trey and to Molly. I want to show them the right example and be an example of godly character. Parents, one of the greatest things that I can tell you is just be consistent. Just be consistent. The way that you are in your home, don't let it be different than the way you are here. Don't act like you're all of that in a bag of chips here and then go to your house and fuss and cuss and scream and throw stuff and carry on and be abusive. Your child will have no respect for that. Don't go to Hawaii and act like an idiot because you're not around anybody. Who you are, wherever you are, is who you are. That's your character. And somebody said, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Woo. Let me say that again. Who you are is speaking so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. See, more is caught than even taught. People want to see, can you, if you can talk the talk, that's one thing, but can you walk the walk? Can you get up in the morning and walk out Christian character? Is that all right? So now let's go on. Here's the third thing that Moses decided. He said that God's peace is more valuable than possessions. Now, I don't know if you could really get this when you're young, but I'm going to tell you something. As you get older, you really realize that you can go to a pharmacy and buy a pill, but you can't buy peace. You may have to get a little bit older than 14 to realize this, but I'm going to tell you something. When somebody looks at you and says, I have peace, brother, they're saying a mouthful. Because do you know that insomnia now is a major problem in America? People cannot sleep. Why? Because their mind is racing constantly. Because though you lay down, you can lay your body down and still not get rest. Because rest comes from God. Peace comes from the Lord. You can buy a pill, but you can't buy peace. Let me just preach here for a few minutes. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that Moses realized money can't buy. Money can get me a throne. Money can get me a chariot. Money can get me a trophy wife, maybe. But money can't buy me peace. Money can't buy the joy of the Lord. Money can't buy the love of God in my life. And so therefore, I'm going to realize that my value is I'm going to value peace over possessions. Does that make sense? Okay. Can we go a little deeper? Okay, here we go. I want you to look at Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and 7. Here's what the New King James Version says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, Pastor, now what does that mean? Well, it means that we can think small. Or we can think big. But however we choose to think determines who we are. I'm going to use a very simple illustration this morning. We can think small. We can think average. We can think big. Now, this large container is not better than this small container. In fact, they're all three made of the same product, which is glass. So one is not better than the other, they're just different. Okay, I want to be very clear because someone could misconstrue what I'm about to say. Whether people are small thinkers or big thinkers, in the sight of God, people are valuable because all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Okay? So what makes us valuable is not, are we small thinkers? Are we big thinkers? Do we have a lot of net worth? A lot of net worth or very little net worth? That's not what is important to God. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Okay? So are we clear on that? Okay? Because that's very important. But what I have learned is this, that any change I want to make in my life starts in my mind. I'm going to say that again. Any change that I want to make in my life starts in my mind. See, you're not going to go to a place that your mind hasn't already gone. Your body will never go to a place your mind hadn't already gone. If you decide, you know what, I'm going to get me something to drink, then you know, you've already decided in your mind, I'm going to get something to drink before you ever get that drink. So your body doesn't go where your mind hasn't already been. Why is that important? Because as a society, here's why this is important. We're very concerned about air pollution and we're concerned about water pollution when we ought to be concerned about mind pollution. Because here's what one scripture says. The Bible says this, that whatsoever is good, whatsoever is lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Because you're going to go in the direction of your thoughts. Does that make sense? You say, Pastor, how can I change my life? Well, one way is to get God in your life. And the second way is to change, is to start changing your thinking, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I could not pound this desk hard enough this morning to just remind all of us that our thinking is a critical part of what determines what level we choose to live on. Now, we may or may not realize it, but we all have now blueprints in our mind. So I've gone from the jars now to blueprints to basically say the same thing. Here's another example. Our blueprints in our mind really dictates how we think. This is a house blueprint. What does a blueprint tell you? It tells you the dimensions of the house. What size the living room's going to be, what size the bedroom's going to be, what size the bathrooms are going to be. And it's very laid out. We all, brothers and sisters, have blueprints in our mind. We don't even take the time to think about it because it just kind of happens. But here's the fact. You have a financial blueprint in your mind. You have a blueprint of how to raise kids. You have a blueprint of how to run your house. I know I see you thinking about that. That's awesome. You have a blueprint. All of us have a blueprint. Now, I'm going to take very low-lying fruit. I mean, this is really easy. I'm going to take a very easy example to explain what I just said. If you do a study on lottery winners, the men and women who win the lottery, if you do a study on them, here's what you will find. That regardless of the size of their winnings, regardless, most lottery winners eventually return to their original financial state, the amount that they can be comfortable with. Now, what did you just say, Pastor? Here's what I said. If a person, let's say, they've been used to, let's just say, $50,000 a year. It's what they're comfortable with. That's what they know. They bought a lottery ticket. They won. They received $25 million. You would think $25 million, they can never go broke. They can never go broke. But now, if you go to Google, you'll find out this statistic. Here's a statistic. Lottery winners are more likely to declare bankruptcy within 3 to 5 years than the average American. Here's another statistic. Nearly one-third, one out of every three lottery winners eventually declare bankruptcy. And you think, man, how can that be? Well, you can fact check me. But the facts are, is that most lottery winners declare bankruptcy after winning millions of dollars. And you say, how is that possible? Because they have a financial blueprint in their mind that says, this is who I am, and this is what I'm worthy of, and this is what I can earn. And anything outside of that, I'll find a way to get back to who I am. So here's what that means. It means this, that if you want to build a 20 or a 30 by 50 barn, you can't do that on a 12 by 12 slab. Right? It's not going to work. So if you want to be more, you have to become more. You say, how do I become more? You grow. You read. Do you realize that when people graduate, the average person only reads one book after they graduate a year? A year. Why? Because we said, well, we graduated, we got the diploma, and we quit growing. And so this is what happens. We have a mental blueprint and we don't even realize it. But we're going to go back to what we're comfortable living at, who we're comfortable being, and the state that we're comfortable in. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, why is that important? Because you're deciding with your thoughts, do I want a barn blessing? Now this represents a barn. So y'all got to stay with me here. Do I want a barn blessing? Or am I good with the basket? Or am I okay with the bag? We say, well, that just depends on God. God is in control. Brothers and sisters, you don't want me getting off on that. Because that's a soapbox I can stay on for 30 minutes. If God, listen, hold on, strap your seatbelt. If God is in control, he's doing a poor job of some things. What do you mean by that? Well, because a lot of the world this morning is not living for him. If he's in control, why don't he make them get their hide in here into the churches all over the country if he's in control? If God is in control of everything, then why are a lot of babies today being abused and young ladies being in sex trafficking if God is in control? See, no, I don't believe that. There's a thing called sin, and because there's sin, the world is in the shape that it's in. And God, listen, God doesn't make you serve him. He doesn't make you. He gives you a choice. So God is not going to make you decide, I want a barn blessing. He's not going to make you decide, you know what, I'm just happy with the bag blessing. That comes back to you. And Romans tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So it's not that, well, I guess this is all God wants me to have. I'm sorry, I don't buy into that. Do not buy into that. A lot has to determine on how are you going to change your mental blueprint. Are you going to listen to what authority figures in your life said, that you were nothing, you were stupid, and you were no good? Or are you going to go back to the word that says, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? Or are you going to listen that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? You got to decide, what am I going to listen to? Am I communicating to you this morning? God doesn't make this decision. Now, does this one better than this one? No. Is this one going to heaven quicker than this one? No. Is this one more valuable? No. You decide what you want. God ain't going to decide that. You decide that. Now, the reason why I decided I want a barn blessing is not just so that I can have a new pair of shoes. I want a barn blessing because it is in my spirit to be able to support a lot of our missionaries so they don't have to stay on the road for a year drumming up support. I personally want to be able to support them so it cuts down their travels to the minimum of 6 months, 6 to 8 months. You say, why? Because I think of myself. If I left you for a year, man, I wouldn't want to do that. Maybe some of you might want me to. Like, well, that sounds pretty good. But I personally wouldn't want to. Why? Because I love you. I love being here. And when I think of our missionaries leaving their fields of labor for a year to come over here and travel, I'm like, God, listen, Lord, I really want the right motive. I want to be blessed, not so I can just, you know, flash the cash. I want to be blessed to be a blessing. I want to bless the kingdom of God. Hey, money is good for where it works. It's not good for where it don't work. Think about that. You go try to just take love and try to go up to Pedestal Bank and deposit some love. Just walk up there. I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to call security. Because you know what? It don't work there. Love doesn't build churches, doesn't renovate churches, doesn't build hospitals, doesn't build gymnasiums, doesn't build daycare centers, doesn't build homes for battered women. Love doesn't do that. You know what does? Money. So money works and is important where it works, but it's not important where it doesn't work. It's not important when it comes to the matters of love. It's not important when it comes to the matters of peace. Why? Because you can't buy love and you can't buy peace and you can't buy joy. So it don't work there. Did that just make sense? Okay, so now here's the problem. When we think small, guess what? When we think small, well, I can't. Well, here's what Henry Ford said. If you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. Think about that. If you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. You're right on both accounts. If you think you can, guess what? You're probably going to be able to. And if you think you can't, guess what? You probably won't. Most of the battles in life are mind battles. And if you win in your mind, you can win in life. But the way you change is you get that word of God in you that lets you know you're not a slave, you're not even a servant, you're a son. And God wants his sons and he wants to bless his sons because his sons understand the kingdom and they give back to the kingdom. But we can't exceed our blueprint. See, our values and the way we think determines who we are becoming. Here's another way of saying the exact same thing. If you want to change the fruits, you first got to change the roots. All right, I want you to say that out loud with me. You ready? If you want to change the fruits, you got to change the roots. Why? Because if you want apples, you can't plant pear trees. If you don't, you say, I don't like the fruits of my life, then guess what you got to do? You got to go to the roots. See, you can't run out and pick some lemons off of one tree and go and tie them on an oak tree and say, this is my new lemon tree. Can't do that. Why? You know why? Because fruit is an inside job. Oh. That was worth the price of you being here right there. Fruit is an inside job. What do you mean? That if you want to bear fruit, it doesn't come from out here. See, this is what the world says. My fruit is my car. My fruit is my home. My fruit is my bank account. My fruit is my good looks. That's why I'm valuable. Really? So what happens if you're in an accident and lose all that beauty? What happens if you're in an accident and lose your car? What happens if you're in an accident and it was your fault and you get sued and they take all your money? Now what happens? Everything that you thought, this is why I'm valuable, suddenly is no longer here. Now what are you going to do? So you got to understand, this is what Ford said. He said, burn my buildings and take my factories, but give me my people and I'll build my business right back again. Because he understood everything that is around me is a result of what is in me. Hey, listen, I'm not trashing on anybody, but if you go to somebody around and their house is all trashy and their outside is trashy, I can tell you what's going on inside. The reason why the outside of this building is important to me is because God doesn't look on the outside, but man does. But everything that is around me is a reflection of what is in me. So if I'm thinking small, then guess what? Everything around me is going to be small. See, if you want to change the fruits, you got to change the roots. Because we don't live just in a physical world. We live in a mental world. We live in an emotional world. We live in a spiritual world. And what most people do not realize is that the physical realm is just a printout of the other three. What is around us is merely a symptom of what's going on within us. Here's an example, and then I'm going to let you go. Here's the example. So let's say that you go into your computer and you type a nice little letter to a friend. Type this letter and then you print it out and you see there's a major typo in the letter, right? So you go and you get an eraser and you erase the typo. You erase it, it's erased. And so you say, okay, good, I got that fixed. So you go back to your computer and you press print again and it prints out again. And then you're like, I erased that. Oh, my goodness. There is that typo. Huh. So what you do next time is you get a bigger eraser and you erase it, right? And say, okay, now this is fixed. So you go back and you press print again. And then you print it out and you get it and you look at it and, oh, my Lord, there is the typo. So now what you do is you go to your local library and you check out a book, 300-page manual, on how to effectively erase typos. You read it, all 300 pages of this boring till you die manual. And then you go back and you press print again. And lo and behold, there is the same typo. Say, what's going on here? See, the printout doesn't change till the program change. What's around you doesn't change till what's inside of you changes. Mm-hmm. See, I can't go here just because, you know, I got a little something going on. I don't get here until I change what's right here. The blueprint in my mind. You say, well, Pastor, how did I get this blueprint? Well, you didn't realize it, but you basically got this blueprint growing up. What you heard about money. If you heard things like rich people are pigs. Rich people are snotty. Or if you heard things like the pastor, all he wants is your money. Right? All that church wants is your money. If you heard things like, you know, you're really nothing, and you'll never be nothing, and you'll never be as good as your brother. All of that is verbal conditioning. What you saw modeled in front of you, how you saw your parents model money, how you heard them speak, authority figures in your life, pastors in your life, all of this was programming, and you didn't even realize what was going on. See, this is the reason why that it's so hard to change. Why is it so hard to change? Because what we do is, y'all stay with me, what we do is we make decisions based off of values. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. See, the reason why you came to church this morning, there's a belief behind that. What is it? Because we believe that as Christians, we should be faithful to the house of God. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. Now, how did I get these beliefs? I got them growing up through verbal conditioning, through my parents, through grandparents, through the authority figures in my life. And then I just developed, didn't even realize it, but I developed these values. And now when somebody tells me something that goes against my values, I immediately reject it. Because that's not what I heard. When somebody comes up and you were never loved, and then somebody just tries to come up and love you, you know what you do? You kind of put up a wall. You kind of distance yourself. Why? Because you were always taught you're never valuable. You're not even worthy of love. And then we wonder, why do I stay small? How come God is not for me? It's not that God's not for you, sweetheart. It's God won't do your thinking for you. And the reason why many people never go from here to here is because, you know what? You got to think for a change. And most people don't like change because it can be hard work. Did that make sense? Okay. I've got to stop. So here's the question. What holds most people back? Here it is. Wrong values and wrong thinking. So now let's wrap this up. Let's go back to Moses. What did he do? Moses got the right values and he got the right thinking. And here's the third thing that he had to decide, and then we'll be done. Who's going to be in charge of my life? You have to make a decision. Who's going to be in charge of your life? Am I going to be the CEO of my life? Am I going to be the manager, general manager of my life? Am I going to say what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it? Who's going to be the authority in my life? You have to make that decision. Am I going to go to what's popular and let what is popular say? Because, you know this, y'all. What's popular this week is probably going to be out of fashion in a month. Y'all couldn't even remember who's on People magazine 2 weeks ago. So you had to ask yourself, is what is popular going to choose how I guide my life? Am I going to guide my life based off of possessions or prestige or power? Is that what it's going to be? Who's going to be the ultimate authority in my life? Am I going to do that, or is God going to do that? And here's what Moses decided. Look at verse 27. Here's what he decided. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. This is verse 27 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, this is important. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Who is invisible? God. But he knew that Egypt couldn't reward him, but God could. Think about this. If Moses would have bought into all of Egypt's values, he would just be a dead mummy in Pharaoh's pyramids that we'd know nothing about. But today, he's one of the most famous men in the world, and people all over the country are preaching about Moses today. Why? Because he decided by faith, I am going to persevere to what I can't even see. I'm going to keep my eyes upon God. Why? Why did he do that? Because he knew the fruits are going to bear the roots. What I can't see under the ground is going to bear what I can see above the ground. So now I got to decide what's going to make my choice for me. Is it going to be internal? I'm going to do that. Or is it going to be external? Others are going to do that. Or is it going to be eternal? God's going to do that. I have to make that choice. Am I going to live for today? Or am I going to live for others? Or am I going to live for God? Who's going to be the CEO of my life? You know what? Everybody in this room, you're going to have to make that choice. Here's the deal. The Bible plainly tells us that one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. You say, well, Pastor, if I decide today to let Jesus be the CEO of my life, look what I'm going to have to give up. Really? Look at what Moses was willing to give up, what was temporal for what was eternal. To be forgotten as one of Pharaoh's in Egypt and just be a mummy that nobody knows about, or to be a man of God that led millions of people out of Egypt for the glory of God. Every one of us in this house have to make a choice. So how do I start, Pastor? I'm going to really encourage you. I'm going to challenge all of us today. Go home and take a few minutes and ask yourself, what are my values? And write them down. Because here's what I know. Whatever your values are, that is your priority. And your priorities dictate your time. And your time is the most valuable commodity that you have. Because you can't rent it. You can't borrow it. You can't get it on loan. So my values determine my priorities. And then my thinking determines where I want to live. Do I want to live this level? Or do I want to live this level? Then it's my printout. If I want to change the structure, if I want a bigger barn, I've got to go to the printout. And I got to change the dimensions. I got to change what I can't see so it's going to show up in what I can see. And then I have to decide who's going to be the CEO and the boss of my life. Am I going to do that? Or others going to do that? Or is God going to do that? Would you stand this morning? Yes, so look at what Moses gave up. But look.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.